It's Monday morning, and that means it's time to check out what's on the agenda for the week ahead. With us this week is Callie Crossley, host of Boston Public Radio on WGBH, and Marcus Mabry, editor-at-large at the International Herald Tribune, the international edition of the New York Times. Good morning to you both.
Good morning.
Morning.
So, Callie, the big political news this week, let me think, what could it possibly be? Paul Ryan is making news all this week, I'm sure. Now, maybe in my imagination, Callie, but I feel like I saw Romney and Ryan this weekend. They had a lightness to their step. There was lots of bounding around together, looking very happy, and they looked very comfortable as a couple.
They are definitely. You're right. Yeah. He's been a great energizer, and I think he's freed Mitt Romney up a little bit so he can feel more relaxed. It's clear that they have a good rapport. That's going to work well in their favor. Today, though, will be very interesting because Ryan is going off on his own. They worked together yesterday, traveling around. Today, he's in Iowa, Ryan, by himself on his first sort of solo trip after he's been named number two nominee. And it's a good place for him to be. He's a neighbor. Iowa's a neighbor to Wisconsin. Well-known there, plays well, and he's stopping at the Des Moines State Fair, which I think is going to allow him to exhibit all of the qualities that people who know him well say he has, the sort of warmth and friendliness and connectedness to the real people. Also, Iowa, really interested in federal debt reduction. There's a real interest in the folks there. So, of course, he'd be welcome there. On the other hand, Femi, have to say, Iowa has one of the oldest populations in the country. And there are some, no doubt, who are worrying about what he had in his budget plan, his proposed budget plan, which would reduce Medicare benefits to a lot of seniors. However he puts that forth, numbers of people are very, very concerned about it. By the way, Obama's in the state too, 130 miles away from Des Moines. He'll be in Council Bluffs. As you know, this was a state that gave him his first big boost in the 2008 campaign when the caucuses supported him. So, you know, this is a very interesting day to watch, I think, in Iowa.
Callie, take a breath. You've deserved it. Marcus, let me bring you in. President Mohamed Morsi has dismissed some of his top military chiefs in Egypt. What does this actually mean for the country there?
It's really interesting. You know, Egypt is one of these countries where, I don't know how much our listeners know about the history of it, but it's a country where there has been, since the age of Mubarak, and indeed before Mubarak, an amazing font of conspiracy theories. And so while it looks like on the surface of things that this is the civilian leadership reasserting its control of the government and saying to the military, who's really been in effect since Mubarak was ousted by the people, it wasn't really a people's revolution in the end. It was a people's revolution, but it turned out the military was the one who benefited the most. The military really has been in control, and they really have suppressed lots of the civilian leadership, for instance, taking all the executive powers back from the presidency, saying that they resided with the military council. This is Morsi basically saying, I'm in charge. The civilian elected president of Egypt is in charge. The military is subordinate to civilian leadership. And so on the surface, it looks like that. But many people are saying, the conspiracy theorists say, this is a deal that was cut with the military. You see these top generals who've been in charge since Mubarak left, stepping down and acquiescing to the will of Morsi, who's got nobody, he has no troops on his side. Other than 50% of the parliament, which are of the same Islamist orientation as he is, but they have been disenfranchised themselves. So clearly, for the military to go along with this, there must be a deal that was cut. The military must be willing to say, well, we'll give you this kind of fig leaf, but we'll still be in charge behind the scenes, or some other kind of machination. We don't actually know, as my colleague Kareem was saying, we don't actually know what this means for who's really in charge, or Morsi really is in charge, or if this is really what is in everyone's interest is stability. And if this is the military saying, look, world, the world worries that we're still in charge and this is not a true democracy, well, look, we are willing to acquiesce. We are working here together with our civilian elected leadership to actually have a semblance of stability so we can have economic resurgence here in Egypt, which is really the most important thing, so that we don't have a revolution that becomes an endless revolution.
Let me just head back to Cali and talk about some domestic news here. Voter ID issue in Philadelphia, that's going to be big news this week. But why should the rest of us in the states care?
because it's been looked at and it's being looked at very carefully by not only those half dozen states that have passed similar kinds of legislation, but by folks who are very much in opposition of this kind of legislation. For those who don't know, this is a voter ID law which requires that people have a certain kind of photo ID. Now, it gets a little bit more complicated, but for this conversation, you have to have a certain kind of photo ID. Right now, 759,000 voters in Pennsylvania do not have that ID. And by the way, 906,000 have expired IDs, which they could not get before November. So this law was passed in March by this legislature, which is given the authority to do that. It ended up in Commonwealth Court, where Judge Robert Simpson is expected to make a ruling this week about whether or not only will these people be disenfranchised, but whether it's because it's so close to the election, this is really unfair on every possible level. That doesn't mean the law can't come back and be reconfigured by the legislature. Some are calling for the legislature to overturn its own law. In fact, one of the House Republican leaders told the crowd that by passing this law, keeping this law in place before November, it was, quote, going to allow Governor Romney to win in the state of Pennsylvania. At issue has been whether or not these laws are politically motivated to remove from the rolls folks that some think would likely vote for President Obama. Black folks, elderly, who are infirm and, you know, can't be and don't have IDs. They just don't have this particular kind of IDs.
But, Callie, for the rest of us in the U.S., why should we begin get engaged with this conversation?
Because this is going to impact the rest of the laws, as I said, and whether or not lots of folks will be turned away in November because they don't have photo IDs. If this judge decides this does not stand, then it calls into question the other laws that have been passed in a half dozen states and the other ones on the books being considered. So it becomes a real issue, not only about an immediate impact, which is November election, but about long-term voter regulations and whether or not it violates the voting laws in this country. So it's a big deal. And by the way, when they were testifying in court, those who supported this law, it turns out there were zero incidents of voter fraud. So people question, well, what's the need for this law?
Right. Let me look ahead to Thursday. And Marcus, use your skills as a prognosticator for the U.S. debt figure. And that's going to be released on Thursday. What are your predictions?
Well, my predictions are that it's going to be bigger than ever. And that, you know, to take it back.
I could do that.
Most importantly, though, to take it back to the political issues we were talking about, I guarantee you that will be all Paul Ryan and the Ryan Romney, Romney Ryan, rather, campaign talks about for the rest of the end of the week. It will be that figure. And attributing it all to Barack Obama. You'll have no idea that the United States was at all in debt at all when Obama came into office. But that will be the Republican talking point will be how this Democratic president has led us to record debt in the history of the United States and how it's all his fault. So that's what you will be talking about at the end of the week in the United States.
All right. We're checking in to make sure that that is the case. And just very quickly, because you are in London, Marcus, how are you feeling the day after the end of the London Olympics and just before the Paralympics? How would you up the last 2 weeks?
It's been an amazing time here in London. And even people who are not great fans of Great Britain before this, you kind of couldn't help but in the end really, really, really respect the incredible spectacle they pulled off. And they didn't do it by trying to out-China China. They didn't do it by putting up amazing acrobats, et cetera, as the Beijing Games had said. People said, how could London possibly live up to what Beijing was? They did it by being incredibly British. They were funny. They were self-deprecating. They put on an opening ceremony that half the world was like, what's going on? And the Brits didn't care. And then they put on an amazing concert last night with the Spice Girls. It was amazing.
I am glowing with pride. Marcus Mabry there. He's the editor-at-large at the International Herald Tribune, the international edition of the New York Times. Thank you so much for being part of The Agenda. And Callie Crosley, host of Boston Public Radio on WGBH. Thank you too very much as well. And that was this week's Agenda.
I'm David Remnick, host of the New Yorker Radio Hour. There's nothing like finding a story you can really sink into that lets you tune out the noise and focus on what matters. In print or here on the podcast, the New Yorker brings you thoughtfulness and depth and even humor that you can't find anywhere else. So please join me every week for the New Yorker Radio Hour, wherever you listen to podcasts.